Hello, hello! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Cuscus Oops with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast coming up for you. We're going to have a two-part conversation with one of our good friends, Curtis Rogers. He does such amazing work over at 710 Seattle Sports, looking at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. We go in-depth with a little bit of everything with him, what we've been seeing out there on the West Coast with the likes of Washington, Gonzaga, their off-seasons, the new look Pac-12, what to expect there. We have to dive a little bit into NCAA tournament expansion as well. Some of the teams that have been catching his eye in the postseason as well. In the final segment, we didn't have a lot of news and notes in college basketball on Sunday. Obviously, it's Mother's Day, and hopefully all of you moms out there had a good Mother's Day. But that said, we did have a few moves that happened late Saturday into Sunday, so we'll give you guys a little bit of a recap of those, so we'll have ourselves some fun here. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one or two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter /xtimeline at gunit_d1. Keep in mind, letters M, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it's very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And I do beg with you, I do plead with you, please do send in those Twitter /x questions. It'll help the offseason go by a little bit faster. I just love answering your questions whenever you have them as well. But we did have ourselves a lot of fun with regards to our chat with Curtis Rogers, so I decided to make it into two parts because we touched upon a little bit of everything there. So let's get into it because he does such great work over at 710 Seattle Sports. And this time of year, he's doing a great job on the baseball front. He's a pre- and post-game host for the Seattle Mariners on the radio side of things. If it's out there in the city of Seattle, he's covering it, whether it be the Seahawks, the Seattle Kraken, and he should be getting an NBA team sooner rather than later as well. All jazzed up about that. And all 12 months of the year, much like myself, does a great job keeping his finger on the pulse of all things college basketball. You're able to follow him on the old Twitter /X along with Instagram at akidfromken all together. And Curtis, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Greg, thanks for having me on, as always. And yeah, it's a busy time for sure. Not busy enough to talk some college hoops here as we are nearing the end, I would say, of a lot of these guys making their decisions for 2026 and 2027 as we are getting closer and closer to the NBA Draft Combine. Guys will go through that process. They'll decide whether they want to stick in the NBA draft pool or come back to school. So we're getting a much clearer picture on what these rosters in college basketball are going to be looking like here over the course of the next few weeks.
Oh, we certainly are getting a much more clearer picture. And how big is it that this season we had fewer guys enter into the NBA draft? Because I think that that helps us out even further. Now, we still have quite a few guys out there in the transfer portal that are sort of in limbo, but there's very few really impactful NBA draft decisions that, in my opinion, are going to be swaying things, unlike in past seasons.
I think it benefits the college game for sure. It also benefits the pro game because I think a lot of the guys who we saw in years past that would get drafted out of Europe. What comes to mind is Fran Fraschilla's great line about Bruno Caboclo, the former Toronto Raptor.
Yes.
End of the bench guy. Yeah, he's 2 years away from being 2 years away. What better way to spend those 2 years away than doing it at the collegiate level? I feel like it's beneficial for everybody that the NIL has brought so many European players over to play college basketball, where a lot of these guys hit the NBA far developed than what they would be if they had been playing in Europe for all these years, or playing wherever, you know, playing in Africa, Malaysia, playing in Australia, wherever it is that they find these guys from. So I think it's been very beneficial for everybody that a lot of these guys hit the college route before going pro. You hardly see, you know, many guys just go straight Europe, go straight, you know, international play. I mean, there are the rare exceptions. Victor Wembanyama, obviously, the most famous of that over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. But everybody seems to be going the college route, even if they do have a couple of years of pro experience in Europe.
Yep, absolutely. I'm in agreement with you, and I think that it's been great what we've been seeing in terms of the last few seasons in general, and I do think that it gives us a little bit more clarity with regards to the college game as well. And when it comes to your neck of the woods out there in the great state of Washington, obviously the big team is Gonzaga, but we've also seen the Huskies make a few moves. What have you made out of their offseasons thus far? Because for Gonzaga, I feel like it's been a little bit more quality over quantity for them. Bringing in Musamba Diop, the big man from Arizona State, has really been the big move for them. And for Washington, it feels like it's a lot of, shall we say, role players and a lot of solid players. I don't know if they necessarily have added that star here in the offseason, and they're going to need to because of what they lost here in the offseason.
Yeah, they lost quite a bit of talent. We saw Frank Kepning be the most recent guy to leave for elsewhere. He goes to Kentucky, joining Mark Pope, joining, you know, a couple other guys there. I believe Zoom Diallo is headed to Kentucky as well. So, yep. Yeah, they have lost quite a bit of talent over the last couple of weeks. AJ Mandiket, he's another guy that left. He's going to Arizona. We're waiting to see what Desmond Claude does. We're waiting to see what a couple other guys do. I did think the addition of Lawan Watts was pretty good. He obviously has a really strong bloodline here in the state of Washington related to Slick Watts. Donald Watts played for the Huskies for a number of years. Really good to see a hometown kid kind of stick around. But yeah, you mentioned just, you know, kind of some good pieces, but not a lot of star power. And not a lot of star power, and especially considering what they did last year in the portal, where I thought they were actually one of the better teams in the portal. It just didn't work out last year due to a lot of injuries. And I think this is a very big year for the Huskies for sure, especially as they try to get back the NCAA tournament. The Big Ten has consistently been, you know, one of the best conferences in college basketball. They finally broke through and won a national championship this last year with Michigan. So it's not getting any easier in the Big Ten. We have not really seen one of these West Coast Big Ten schools kind of assert themselves as a power yet in the Big Ten. So hopefully, you know, that happens soon enough. I know a much bigger transition, I think, for these college basketball teams and college football teams in the Big Ten. But the Huskies are in a really tight spot. And I think Danny Sprinkle is also in a really tight spot, because I think if he does not deliver in an expanded tournament field, 76 teams now, then you're really going to have a tough call of bringing him back in year four if he does not have an NCAA tournament appearance under his belt by then.
Yep, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Washington moving forward. They are, in my opinion, going to be facing much more scrutiny and a lot more pressure than Gonzaga. They are going to be in the first year of the Pac-12, which, if you can name up all the Pac-12 schools off the top of your head, I salute you, because there's a lot of conference realignment trying to know who's all in the Mountain West of the Pac-12 right now. That is very much a work of art. But that said, how do you take a look at this year for Gonzaga? Because it just felt like everything went straight down the toilet bowl. And Braden Huff went down with an injury prior to that. Yeah, they lost the game to Michigan, but everyone was losing to Michigan, and everyone was losing to Michigan by 100 million billion points. Past that, they were looking pretty rock solid, but now, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to be getting him back, and while they're not adding a ton in the transfer portal, what they have returning is much more than most teams in all of college basketball.
It is, and I think Gonzaga is probably going to be one of the favorites heading into this upcoming season in the new Pac-12. I think they're a really, really solid bunch. Look, I mean, Braden Huff, he's expected to come back. They did lose a few key players to the portal. Emmanuel Inocente, he was one that I think a lot of Gonzaga fans were disappointed to see leave. But you've got Parker Jefferson coming back. Ismaila Diagne, he's coming back too. So I think they're going to be just another force. And how about the 7-footer Sam Funchess coming in? He's going to be a freshman this year. Gonzaga always does really well with big men. I think Luca Foster, he's going to be an interesting one. I'm glad that they're actually tapping in to recruiting high school kids, especially because, look, there's a lot of talent still out there at the high school level. Yes, it is not going to be as developed, as polished as a guy who's played, you know, a couple of years over in Europe or a couple of years in college basketball. But I think what's interesting about a team like Arizona, when they made the Final Four last year, sort of in comparison to Gonzaga, Arizona did it with a lot of freshman help. Looking at guys like Braden Burries, Ivan Karchenkov, Koa Pete, all three of those guys played huge minutes for the team. Obviously, it crashed and burned in the Final Four going up against Michigan, as it did for many teams going up against Michigan this year. But I think there is definitely a place for freshmen in the college game here in 2026-2020. Some coaches like Rick Pitino have said, you know, I'm pretty much done recruiting freshmen. Like, I'm going to recruit a lot of these guys that are much more polished, much more refined than, you know, some 17, 18-year-old kid. But I think there's still a lot of talent to be had at the high school level. You know, obviously there's going to be a lot of incredible freshmen. I mean, you look at this year's freshman class, just to paint the picture, like, you'd be foolish to pass on any of the big four that are going to be going here in the NBA draft when we find out the lottery order here on Sunday.
Yep, absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what we're going to be getting in terms of the NBA draft. Most of those guys are going to be staying put. We still have one or two decisions like Milan Mihamljevic. That's certainly going to be an interesting one, but knowing what we're getting is just so big right now. And we always know what we're going to get from Curtis Rogers. He does such an excellent job looking at this game of college basketball. Joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And while it has been fun to be able to break down what a lot of these West Coast teams have done, a lot of the big moves have come out east. We've seen a lot of teams in the ACC step up, obviously Tennessee. I want to talk to Curtis about those on the flip side right here on Coast to Coast with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast. Side edges college basketball season? Well, VSiN experts use CBB Analytics, the most comprehensive college basketball analytics platform in the world. See injury impact on and off data, clutch time performance metrics, first versus second half splits, and so much more. Utilize the promo code of VSiN, that is VSIN, to get $30 off and find your betting edge over at CBBAnalytics.com. That is CBBAnalytics, all one word, .com. For anyone that is new to VSiN, well, I wish you a friendly hello. This is an attention to anyone that is new to VSiN because you're able to get some free stuff with our daily newsletter. It's a great way to catch up on everything that's happening in the sports betting world. It's delivered straight to your inbox every single morning. VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, strategies for the day's betting menu, and so much more. Sign up for free today over at VSiN.com/newsletter. That's VSIN.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That is VSIN.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Great to be rejoined by Curtis Rogers, who does such amazing work over at 710 Seattle Sports. He does a great job looking at all things in the Seattle landscape, including doing the pre- and post-game hosting right now for the Seattle Mariners. You're able to follow him on the old Twitter /X at A Kid From Kent altogether. Same with his Instagram handle. And Curtis, we talked to you a lot about these guys in the NBA draft, a little bit of West Coast, but as we both know, a lot of the big moves, they have come a little bit further out east / SEC. How do you take a look at some of these teams like Louisville, like Tennessee, where it just feels like even though they made some great moves, they are going to be having a little bit of, shall we say, a philosophy shift. And I think that Tennessee is going to be a little bit more offense oriented, where a team like Louisville, who in the past they have been like a top five team in terms of percentage of their shots that come from three, with Flory Badunga and company, I don't think they're going to be able to do that this year.
Yeah, that is the interesting thing too about adding players that are clearly talented, but maybe don't fit the system. I think it's a true test of a coach's mettle to be able to bring in a guy who does not fit your system and make it work. I thought Dusty May did a really good job of just making all the new pieces flow together at Michigan. I thought he did a tremendous job getting that to work in sync. And for whatever, you know, look, I think Pat Kelsey, his ability to get these top guys in the portal, I think that is a good thing for his program. And now we're going to see, okay, Pat Kelsey, you've had a good start at Louisville. Now I think the expectations ramp up. I think now you're looking at a Louisville team that should compete for, I think, you know, the top of the ACC. You look at the ACC in years past, at least in recent years past, they're going to need teams like Louisville. They're going to need teams like Syracuse to really punch above their weight class and get back to where they were as programs, because the ACC, it feels like, Greg, has been kind of forgotten amongst the power conferences, and which is crazy to say because it was not that long ago that the ACC was the conference in college basketball. It was within this last decade. It was maybe pre-NIL, but it was definitely in recent history. Now Duke has been Duke for the most part. They have had very little slip-ups. Obviously, the COVID year, that was a weird season. No one really counts that, too much, but for the most part, they have been just fine. North Carolina has been up and down, mostly up. You know, they've had a weird – they made the championship game just a few years ago, but then ended up firing Hubert Davis. They bring in Mike Malone. Who knows what North Carolina is going to look like, especially as they kind of await, Henry Vissar, his decision to come back to UNC. So, yeah, I think the ACC definitely needs teams like Louisville to really get back to where they were in terms of prominence across college basketball, because you just look at every other conference right now, Greg, it's such an arms race out there. The Big 12 continues to reload and reassert themselves as the dominant conference. The SEC, just 2 years removed from one of the most prolific years we've ever seen from a conference. The Big 10 has had a phenomenal last year, winning a national championship. They put Purdue in the national championship game a couple of years ago. So the ACC has not really had a moment like that. All their moments end with kind of Duke losing in heartbreak over the last few years, whether it be to Houston in the Final Four last year or to UConn in the Elite Eight. So they're going to need another school, I think, to lift the weight a little bit off of Duke's shoulders, because that school can only do so much. It seems like they have not been able to do it on their own, as every other conference just kind of says, see you later, ACC. We're gonna peel out of here.
Yep, and I think that it's been so big what we've seen in the ACC, because obviously Louisville has made their moves. We've been seeing a few other teams make some solid moves. Virginia, they haven't necessarily signed a ton of guys in the transfer portal, but they bring back quite a bit. But what have you made out of these teams like a Boston College, who they bring in a Luke Murray, Georgia Tech, they're bringing in Scott Cross? Because I do think that some of those lesser teams, Jerry McNamara going on over to Syracuse, I think they, being just a little bit more respectable, is going to help out the conference as a whole, because we've noticed a lot of these teams like Pittsburgh a few years ago getting left at the altar, Wake Forest for a few years, not like the last two, but 3-4 years ago, it felt like they were always like one of those first four teams out, things like that. And I think that really elevates this conference as well.
I think so. Yeah, I think you absolutely have to kind of look elsewhere, look in a different spot than where other programs are looking. I think you need to be able to find that young and hungry head coach that is going to grind his way to making the program something special. I think Luke Murray is an interesting example you bring up there. He's never been a head coach before, but has been an assistant at some pretty big programs. And so obviously that experience is going to play big. And Boston College, I mean, that is a dormant program. That is a program that is in desperate need of just some new blood. And now, obviously, it could backfire, as with every coaching hire, but I do think that these programs that have been kind of in the doldrums, if you get one guy that just cares deeply about winning and can just out-recruit anybody, then I think you're in a good spot. And not to say that Boston College is all of a sudden going to be playing, you know, the way that they did under Al Skinner or anything like that, but I do think the BC Eagles and a team like that, or Wake Forest, a program like that, you know, having just new blood in their programs, I think it is something that can help elevate them. Maybe not get to a national title or anything like that, but at least back to respectability, at least back to the NCAA tournament. I mean, 76 teams now, Greg. If you're barely above 500 in a power conference, you have a very good shot at making the tournament. So it's not like you got to win, you know, 22, 23 games in the regular season to have a shot. Like, you can win, you know, 16, 17, 18 games and could very easily see yourself playing in, you know, one of those first eight games.
Yep, absolutely. And I'm so glad that you bring that up, because since we last chatted, the field did go to 76 teams. What are your overall thoughts there? Because as much as I would love to think, oh, they might be helping out the little guy and everything like that, I feel like we both know that's probably not going to be the case.
Yeah, I don't see this being any easier for the mid-majors to get in, which is unfortunate, because a 27-28 win mid-major team, I think, has a better shot at being competitive in the tournament than, say, a 17-win SEC school, a 16-win Big 12 school. And that's just kind of what it's going to end up being, because you've got, what, three 16 seeds and a 15 seed that are going to be playing in the first eight games. And then I believe it's like it's the 11s and 12s, if I'm not mistaken, in the other four games. So it feels like this is just another money grab. And I do appreciate the tournament pool websites saying that they will not recognize the first eight games of the tournament, and that they'll only recognize once the bracket is down to 64 teams, which I appreciate, because as a tournament purist, I don't consider it to be the NCAA tournament until the Thursday of tournament week. And I imagine you're right there with me, Greg, because I mean, 76, I get that they've added more teams to the Division I level over the years. We're up over, I think, 350 right now. You've got to be in the top, what, you know, 1/6 basically of the NCAA to get to the NCAA tournament. But I think this is going to be a bad thing for schools who are kind of just levitating in the middle, where, yeah, your program makes the NCAA tournament kind of, which then gives the coach that is kind of in a lame duck situation being like, well, hey, I made the tournament, see? And it's like, well, yeah, you made the first eight. I would not really hang a banner for that, especially if you're in a Power Four program. I don't know. Playoff expansion in every sport, to me, it waters down the product a little bit. It lessens the importance of the regular season, which in college basketball, regular season is everything. That's where you build your resume. And I hope that this does not make the NCAA tournament less than what it is, because it is the best postseason in all of sports. I love it. It's my favorite month of the year, March, and I don't want to see it get worse. Not to say that it's been bad or anything, but to me, it just kind of feels like this is the NCAA now bowing to Greg Sankey of the SEC and Tony Patini of the Big Ten, where those conferences have kind of thrown their weight around, and it just kind of feels more the same, which is unfortunate. You know, college football playoff looks like they want to expand to 24 at some point. I don't know if that's going to be a great thing either. That's going to weaken their regular season. So, Greg, at 76, that's too many for me. I think they had it perfect. I think they really did have it perfect at 68, and unfortunately, they couldn't leave well enough alone.
Yep, they should have just kept it at 64, in my opinion, but I was willing to accept 68. Now we're up to 76. We're probably going to be getting 90-plus here soon, so I'm right there with you. But one thing we can both agree upon is that you, Curtis, do an absolutely tremendous job looking at so many different things. You're out there in the lovely city of Seattle holding it down this time of year, doing a great job with the Seattle Mariners. When it comes to basketball season, you're going to be following all those teams out there in the Pacific Northwest and so much more. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, really good stuff we've got coming up. What was interesting is we had an interesting conversation about former Celtics owner Wick Grousbeck, who is trying to buy the Seahawks here. So we talked to Celtics writer Gary Washburn this last week. Really good conversation. Also, as well as potential NBA expansion with him. So a really interesting conversation that touched on a million different things. A lot of fun stuff there. You can check that out on the Seattle Sports YouTube page. Also, SeattleSports.com is where you want to go for every bit of Seattle sports news. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at @akidfromkent. And Greg, always appreciate you having me on. Love talking college basketball with you, no matter the time of year, even in the dead of May. I really appreciate you having me on, and I cannot wait for our next conversation.
Oh, the conversations that we have with Curtis are second to none. He does such a great job looking at this amazing sport, and every single time he joins me, lends such great insight. So, a big thanks to Curtis for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a recap of the news and notes we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours. Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Curtis Rogers. Does such amazing work over at 710 Seattle Sports, looking at this great sport of college basketball. Every single time he joins me, lends such great insights. Did so once again today. So a big thanks to Curtis for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a recap of the news and notes we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours. Not a lot of rambunctious moves, like we saw Amir Williams go from Hofstra over to West Georgia. For West Georgia, it's been slow going for them in the portal. They're looking at a lot of non-Division I guys, because keep in mind, a few years ago, they were at the D2 ranks. They signed Amir Williams, was glued to the bench, only saw 3 games worth of action for Hofstra, but should be able to help revamp a West Georgia team that was solved from three-point range. Obviously, Sheldon Williams-Dryden was carrying the mail for them last season. I believe he's out of eligibility, unless if something unbeknownst to me happened, but they also signed Justin Redman, who was over at Northwestern State, so they're looking to be able to get some reinforcements. They're going to need to find a little bit of post-play, and probably just a little bit of general size, but that was a step in the right direction for them. This is a step in the right direction as well as Asai Pipa-White. Hopefully I got that correct. He was over at UW-Milwaukee. He's a side that he is going to be going to Houston Christian under Coach Doty. This has been a team that's really been slowing things down. And for UW-Milwaukee, it was a little bit rough defensively for them last season. So it might be a little bit of tweaking. They're going to need to instill a little bit of defense into them. And you can tell that year number two for Houston Christian wasn't quite the same as year number one. But I did like the fact that they picked up Chris Maburu from Northwestern State earlier on in the offseason, bringing in Cameron Clark. Clark from Queens NC. He's solid as well. I'm sensing that they might be picking up their tempo a little bit. And for Pipa White, he, in my opinion, is a legitimate point guard. He's a guy that began his life out there in the great state of Oregon. Last year for UW-Milwaukee, he only averaged about 4.5 points per game, but was able to dole out 2.3 assists per game. Not a guy that's really going to pop it and lock it from three-point range, but is a very willing passer. Began his career at the junior college level. So I do think that this is going to be a relatively solid fit. I think that there's going to be good buy-in there. So I think that this is a pretty good pickup for their Zaku Welche-Ume. Hopefully I got that correct. He has decided that he is going to be adding on over to Old Dominion. And this is a guy that I think can really be able to make an impact for Old Dominion. They've had a few pickups here over the last 24 to 48 hours. It was an Old Dominion team that I thought was going to be much better on the glass last season than what they were. But you're adding in there a guy that, while he was over at North Carolina A&T, albeit a North Carolina A&T team that really struggled with regards to offense, they were really good on the glass. He was able to average 11 points, 7 rebounds. Began his career in the Atlantic 10 with George Washington. At 6'8", he should have relatively good size as well. So I do think that he's going to be able to provide a lot of help for this team. And then additionally, he's going to be joining up with what I think has already been a relatively solid class here for Old Dominion. You've got Boo Boo Benjamin, who's coming in after he was very rock solid over at Tarleton 2 seasons ago. Adante Holloman is a guy that was a double-figure scorer a few seasons ago back when he was on the West Coast as well. Kylan Hauze, he comes over from Louisiana Tech. He's going to be able to provide a little bit more rough and tumble down low as well. So I really do like what this Old Dominion team is building, and I thought that that was a great add for them. And I think that this is a relatively solid add as well. Kyle Marshall, he was over at Air Force. He's heading on over to the bracket bus in Bucknell Bison. Now, Air Force was a skid mark on the underpants of college basketball last season, but for a school like Bucknell, they're out there in the Patriot League. It's so hard to be able to find recruits, and he's a guy that is from the great state of New York. When he was fully healthy during the 2024-25 season over at Air Force, shot 35% from three, 4 boards, 7 points per game, averaged a steal per contest at 6'4". With Bucknell, they do lose guys like Amon Doris from a season ago. For Marshall, he was limited to 4 games last season due to injury, so you do have some injury concerns involved with him. But for Bucknell, I think that this is a really good add, and if he's able to stay healthy, this is going to be a very, very good get for them. Southeast Louisiana, over the last, I'm going to call it about week or so, has really been picking up some nice pieces, and now they get Tabo Bailey. He last season was playing over at East Carolina, and I recognize that he's not going to be a great three-point shooter. The East Carolina system is never good for three-point shooting, but he was averaging for that team right around about 7 points per game. He's going to need to work on his passing a little bit because he's not a guy that is really a great three-point shooter, but a relatively good defender, and that's what the Southeast Louisiana team is based around. He is added to the roster for Southeast Louisiana. They're adding in there a trio of guys from Bryant, the most notable of them, Quincy Allen, a former top 150 recruit, and Ashley Sims, who at 6'8", should be able to give the team some rebounding. Tyler Rolison is coming over from Nevada. J.J. Massaquoi was a darn near 10-point per game scorer over at UMass Lowell. He should be able to give you a little bit of three-point shooting as well, along with Rolison. So I really like what this team has been able to do over the last week or so. Southeast Louisiana spending some money in the Southland in general, with McNeese obviously leading the way along with Stone Cold Steve F. Austin. We've seen a lot of these teams do a nice job of that, but you do have a lot of teams out there in the Southland that, in a day and age where a lot of these mid-major, shall we say, programs have really gone downward, they've been able to do a good job in terms of building themselves up. And I like what Appalachian State has been able to do. They bring in Rizan Alicia, hopefully I got that correct. He was a freshman last year over at UConn. He stands 7'1", had a little bit of fanfare coming out of high school. I believe that he was a walk-on at UConn. Maybe they gave him a scholarship, but a guy that wasn't as heralded as most of the guys for UConn, but he went through a year of practice with them, and he should be able to give Appalachian State, who always prides themselves on being able to win the battle on the boards, being a rough-and-tumble defensive team, a little bit more there. And for Appalachian State, it's not like they've had a high quantity in terms of moves, but they've had some quality moves. They bring in Corbin Allen as well. They're gambling on him coming on over from Kansas. Herman Coffey was a double-figure scorer over at Stone Hill. So even though the moves aren't necessarily like earth-shattering or anything like that, I like what they've done, and I think that this is going to be able to help them out as well. Seton Hall added a little bit of depth as well, as they're going to be bringing in Devin Williams. He last season was over at Florida Atlantic. He's a former four-star guy, and he was a really good shot blocker. 2.5 blocks per contest. Not a guy that was necessarily a force offensively. 7.5 points, right around about 5+ rebounds per game, but a guy that certainly fits the Seton Hall system. When it comes to this system under Shaheen Holloway, it's always based around good low post play, rock solid defense. I think Williams is certainly going to be able to fit the bill there. And for Seton Hall, it's not like they've had a massive quantity of transfers, but I like the guys that they brought in. Roddy Anderson coming over from Xavier. Hot Rod Brown, he's going to be able to help out the three-point shooting. That was a little bit lackadaisical last season. Same for Kareem Thomas. You bring in Simeon Wilcher as well. So I really like this one for Seton Hall. Wilkins Exacte, he was over at Drake last season. 7.5 points, 4.5 boards. He's able to give you just under a block per contest as well. He was dealing with injury towards back half of the season. He has decided that he's heading on over to Mount St. Mary's. Good ad for Mount St. Mary's. When Mount St. Mary's has been good, they've been able to dominate on the boards. He was a part of a Drake team that did a pretty solid job in terms of taking care of the ball. And Mount St. Mary's kryptonite last year is that they were terrible in terms of both taking care of the ball and in terms of turning it over themselves. They already bring in Red Thompson, who is a nice three-point shooter and a nice guard over at Longwood, so they address that. They're going to need to get a little bit more depth, but still, I do think that this is a pretty solid ad for them, and I like what they're doing there. Austin Maurer, he was over at Seattle last season. He was a starter for them. 7.5 points, right around about 5 rebounds per game. He has decided that he is going to be going to Samford. Now, for Samford, I think that this better be an insurance policy for them. Now, he did pop a few threes, so he's got the versatility to be able to do so. He shot less than 30% from three-point range. That's not necessarily his game, but he was able to throw in their block per contest, and Seattle was one of the best mid-major defenses in all of college basketball. He's very limited offensively, but he should be able to give this team a little bit of rough and tumble. And while there's been a lot of ACC teams that have stepped up to the plate and have added a lot here on the portal here in the offseason, Samford has been a team that has been relatively mute, so they did need to get on the board for a little bit of something. This is pretty much like their first ad here in the transfer portal here in the offseason, so they're going to need to add in there a few more guys. They were able to do so here, so that helps them out a little bit. Samford obviously has the very, very difficult academic restrictions, so that makes things a little bit more hard for them to be able to bring in these top-level guys, but they're going to need to try to be able to do so, and this is a good step in the right direction, and hopefully on this podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, we're pointing you in the right direction, because I'm coming at you guys every single day trying to get things set for what I think is going to be the greatest college basketball season of all time. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter /X Timeline at GUnit_D1. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter. So per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it's very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And big thanks to Curtis Rogers of 710 Seattle Sports for joining me in the first 2 segments of the podcast today. Coming at you guys every single day with a fresh podcast, regular season and off season. So I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.